All right, Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Proverbs 6:1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Those two sentences go together. Verse 1, if thou be surety for thy friend. And verse 3, the last phrase, make sure thy friend. Make sure. If you're surety for your friend, you have to make sure for your friend. In other words, what that's talking, well, we'll get back to that in just a minute. Let me not get ahead of myself. Let me read some more. Verse 4, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. All right, back up to verse number 1. We'll spend a little bit of time on this. Again, let me point out this first phrase of verse 1 and the last phrase of verse 3. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, make sure thy friend. In verse 3, make sure thy friend. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. And basically, surety is what the bank asks for when you get a loan. They want collateral. And so it is practiced in some places where you will borrow the money, and if you ain't got the credit, well, somebody else can co-sign for you. And in the modern terminology, co-signing is being surety for a friend. And so in this time that it's being written, if you went and needed some money or corn or livestock or something like that, then if you didn't have the means to pay those things back, then maybe somebody, a friend, would go with you for it and tell the lender that he would be surety for you. In other words, it'll be sure thing that you get your money back. Now, it's hard to trust folks that far this day and time unless you're real good friends. But at any rate, he said, my son, if thou be surety for thy friends, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. So he's talking about the stranger is the one doing the loaning and your friend's the one doing the borrowing. If you do that, then you're snared. The Bible says in verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. So going back to when we first started out this book of Proverbs, we're learning how to live. We're learning how to be people. A lot of times people try to learn how to be Christians before they learn how to be people. You got to learn the basic principles of life first. And so this is one of those instances. A lot of things have been spiritual or moral so far, and this is one of these things that is everyday life. And a big lesson in life is don't agree to pay back nobody's debts if they can't pay it. Amen. That's not what that'll get you in trouble. If you do, then you're snared with the words of your mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So in other words, in God's estimation, if you agree to do that and then they don't pay, God is still holding you responsible because you gave your word. Say, well, they should have paid it back. It was their loan. Yes, that's true. But where you messed up is where you made the agreement. And don't put yourself into business that don't belong to you. In other words, it's a real good way of putting that because you're snared with your words. And if you don't pay it back, then you're going to be labeled as a deadbeat, just like the guy who wasn't able to pay back his original loan or whatever the case, whatever it is that you're borrowing here. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now. This is what you do if you get into a situation like that. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. Get yourself out of the situation fast as you can. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. In other words, just humble yourself and go take care of it. Get it paid out as soon as you possibly can. The thing you should have done is not have signed any agreements like that or become surety. That's what it should be. Say, well, they're my friend. Well, a friend doesn't obligate you to put yourself in jeopardy or danger or debt or any other thing. That's not what being a friend is about. Friends pray for one another. Friends tell one another the truth. Friends help one another out in many, many ways, but you don't have to go into debt, and you don't have to go into debt for your friend or any such thing as that. Put yourself in jeopardy or in financial trouble for it. The Bible says some men will lay down their life for their friends, but laying down your life and putting yourself in debt is two different things. If somebody's house is on fire, maybe you go in and help them out and get them in an act of bravery or something like that. But it's really not a wise thing to put yourself in jeopardy in this kind of a way. Now, if you got lots of money and you can do it without being, if you were to be in the condition where you could say, well, I can afford to pay $10,000 to help my friend out, if that's the kind of thing you can do, then go for it, because you probably wouldn't be mad if you got an extra $10,000 laying around. But I don't have any extra $10,000 is laying around. So a lot of us are not in the position to be surety for a friend. And if you're not in the position to get a loan for yourself, you certainly shouldn't be signing for somebody else to get one. Amen? And so I'm putting it in as modern a terms as possible, because that's really all that applies to us. A lot of times people get caught up teaching the Bible in long ago forgotten customs and cultures, and no sense in that at all, because none of us is going to wake up tomorrow in the first century, or the first century B.C. or the second century B.C. We're not going to do that. So there's only one way to look at that, and that is in its modern application. And so just don't do it. But if it were to happen and you get mad and say, well, they should have paid that, I don't believe I should have to pay that, well, it says to humble yourself and go and make sure. And in other words, that's to fulfill the surety. You said you would do it. Do it. Be responsible for what you've done. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. So make sure you take care of it as soon as possible. That way, if you'd spent 3 years paying off somebody's debt, you'd be some kind of bitter by the time you got done doing it, and it'd take you a while to get over it. And so give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter. Now, you don't see when a deer runs from a man, Brother Spike, they don't turn around nonchalantly, walk off most of the time, do they? They're out of there. I mean, just get out of that situation as quick as you can. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of a hunter, as a bird from the hand of a fowler. Most birds or deer, anything wild like that, when you walk up on them, they get out of town quickly. They're not wasting no time. So get yourself out of trouble quickly. If you've got a commitment to somebody, that you made that commitment, then take care of it as soon as possible, because you don't want to get bitter at them because they've put you in such a mess when actually you put yourself in a mess. See, we got a tendency of getting mad at people for their foolishness, but really you should be mad at yourself for your foolishness, because you agreed to it just like they did. So don't agree to stuff. And we are so weird when it comes to that. I don't know any better word to put it than that. We're weird about the things we say we'll do for our friends, and we expect it's never going to come back to bite us, because they're our friend too. We're their friend, but they're our friend too, and we expect that our friends would never put us in an awkward situation or a bad situation. But we're all just people, and we all make bad decisions, and things are going to turn out wrong if it can. I think that's Murphy's Law or something like that. If it can happen, if it's bad and it can happen, it will happen. But and that's not a sure thing. Of course, sometimes things work out good, but the best thing to do is not put yourself in a situation that you can't get out of. And so he says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Get out of the situation. When they first ask you if you can't do it, be quick to say no. A lot of times say, well, I'll pray about it or I'll think about it. Just say no, man. Just say no. Just say no. And I've tried to get out of that thing of many a times with my children. They'll say, can I do this or do that? Well, I'll think about it. But the best way to do is just say no. If that's your instinct, if that's what you think should be done or should not be done, just say yes or no. Let your yea be yea and your no be no, and just leave it at that. And if a friend asks you to do a thing for them and you say no and they get mad at you and don't speak to you no more, than they weren't your friend to begin with. That's just the way that that is. That's a manipulator, and you don't. It'd be best for you to get out of that situation anyway. And there's nothing worse, I don't think, that I know of on the planet than a manipulative so-and-so. Can I say that without getting run out of town for cussing? That's what it is, an old manipulative so-and-so. And just get rid of that situation as quick as you can. And sometimes you ought to say no to your kids just to test them. And no to your friends just to test them. And I don't mean playing games with them, but just sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do to protect yourself and your interest and different things like that. So verse number 6, here's a good way to stay out of debt and a good way to keep from messing things up in your life, since he's talking about financial things like this. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. That means go out in the yard and find an ant hill and just pull up a lawn chair and spectate like you're at a football game. Just watch what they're doing. And that's exactly what he's saying. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And of course, if you're like me, I've played the part of the sluggard in my lifetime, especially when I was younger. And of course, I've been lazy lately. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say I'm fully reformed. But before I was married, I didn't have to feed 10 youngins and a wife and all this stuff. So I didn't spend much time, you know, worried about getting to work. I just didn't do it. But at any rate, and really, you know, I felt bad about it at sometimes when my mama fussed at me or something like that. And I remember one time I had it in my heart I was going to move out and make something of myself. And I was just dragging my feet. But I decided, boy, I'm getting out of here and I'm going to make something of myself. I just wasn't too motivated about it because I didn't have. So mama motivated me. She come by and said, hey, it's time for you to move out. And I didn't even do too good after that, even with the motivation. But once I got married and seen the responsibilities, I, you know, did my best to get busy. But one good thing about the Lord is that when he made this earth, when he made this world, he put lots of stuff down here to give us examples. That's why it says in your Bible that that the heavens declare his handiwork. God's creation declares things about God and things about life. And you can go out and watch the wildlife and the birds, and you can hug some trees and get out in nature and stuff like that and look around, and you'll learn some lessons. And that's what he's telling you here. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And you just do like an ant does, and it'll show some wisdom. It says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in summer. Did you know, along these same lines, you don't have to have a boss. You don't have to go to work for Hewlett Packard or the Ford Motor Company in order to make a living. You don't need a boss to make a living. They got all these people on television now saying, well, you know, if it wasn't for all these rich corporations, I'd be rich. Now, they don't have anything to do with it. Well, they won't hire me because I'm a certain color, or they won't hire me because I'm a certain gender. That has nothing to do with you. You can go out and make a living all by yourself. Say, well, I don't have any skills. Well, somebody failed you then. But you know what? You say, well, my mother or my daddy should have taught me better skills when I was a boy. That may be true. But now, if your mother could have taught you a skill, and you're the same age as your mother was when you was a little kid, then you've got a big enough brain to figure out some stuff on yourself.
And we live in a day where technology has really made everything available to everybody. You can get online and learn how to do anything. Yeah. Amen. And you can bust your knuckles to earn enough pennies to get a little bit of education if you wanted it. And that's just the way that is. And the Bible says that you should go to the ant and study her ways, and they have no guide, no overseer, and no ruler. That's no boss, no mother, no king. They don't have anybody telling them what to do, but they get up and do something. And you know, I've quoted this verse many a times, in all labor there's profit. And I've had people come to me and say, Brother Mike, I'm really praying for a job. Well, I'll really pray for a job with you. I really will. But I told them at the same time, hey, if nobody will hire you, go mow your neighbor's yard and tell him there's no charge. I mean, he won't hire you to mow his yard. Just tell him you'll mow it just to get the exercise and see what happens. See what takes place. Coming up over the summer, Ruth works at the school, and she's not going to be making any volunteer money over there. So I'm just going to take my trailer around and ask folks if they need the roof cleaned off or a leak fixed or something like that, and see if I can't make $400 over the summer. If I can't do that, God help me. But I believe you can. I believe you can do what you need, and God can provide what you need. A lot of times, though, people say, God help me with this, and they just hold their pockets out like God's going to drop it out of the nearest rain cloud. Well, you pray about things, and God could send you a few dollars. God could do that. There's no question God could do that. He's done that for us many times. But sometimes you got to bend your elbows and your back and your knees and get some things done. And there will be some profit from it. There's no question about that. He says the ants have no guide, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And so I'll go ahead and say this and put this in here. Make sure in your life that you're working for food and shelter. And boy, there's so many things. Just ask my wife. There's so many things that I want. I mean, I want some things. Somebody found an old magazine that I had bought while I was looking to buy a gun one time. And I didn't happen to buy that particular kind of gun, but seeing that magazine full of those guns, advertisements from Daniel Defense, I just sat there and looked at them a while. And I said to my wife last night, I believe I need to go ahead and buy this gun. SBR, short-barreled rifle, and they're illegal. I mean, you can't buy them. You have to buy a $200 federal tax stamp to get the gun. And I would also need a $200 federal tax stamp for the suppressor to put on it. And oh man, that's just stuff that I want, but it ain't really something that I need. I'd like to have one before they outlaw them, because they will. I mean, they're outlawed for general sales. You have to apply to buy them now, but they'll eventually be outlawed altogether where you won't be able to get them at all. And so, you know, it's a necessity of life. It's not really a necessity of life. My long rifle will kill you just as easy as that short barrel rifle will, or my shotgun, or any of those things. But man, we want stuff, don't we? And a lot of times we work extra hard for the things that we want, our hobby stuff. But really, a lot of people complain because they don't have money, and they really do have money. It's just invested in a lot of extra stuff. And I'm not saying anything bad about that. I'm just saying, if you've got a TV in every room and a $40 carton of cigarettes, you're not poor. You've just invested your stuff in the wrong stuff. Amen. And listen, if you're paying, in some places $50, $75, I think you got to take out a small loan in New York City to get a carton of cigarettes. It is way up there for a carton of cigarettes. And man, if you're paying $10 for a pack of cigarettes, or even man, $3, that seems a little outrageous to me. You're making bad financial decisions. Amen. If you can afford to smoke, you ain't got no financial problems. Amen. And we got folks in this town on welfare got Cadillacs in the driveway. Really? I mean, got on the taxpayer, not the government. The government pays nobody anything. Taxpayers. that pay taxes at the end of the week. Taxpayers are paying for people's meals and people's homes in some cases, HUD and all this stuff. I think it's HUD, isn't it? HUD that does the Section 8 housing and stuff like that. Is it politically correct to say Section 8 housing? But at any rate, the government's paying a lot of that stuff, and they got cars in their driveway that taxpayers can't afford, and if you're getting food stamps, I'm not trying to belittle you or nothing like that. But you got folks in towns that can't work but won't work, and they're $900,000 worth of groceries every week on the taxpayer's bill, while people that work 24 hours a day, it seems like, can't afford that kind of stuff. And they got cars in their driveway that's got $10,000 wheels on them, when taxpayers can't afford to get a tire change if it goes flat a lot of times. And a lot of the stuff comes down to the fact of this, is that we put our financial gains into hobbies rather than necessities. And what he says here, if you do it the wise way, do it like the ant does, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. If you're getting fed and you are... It's getting quiet in here. If you got food in your belly and you're surviving and got enough to get back and forth to church and got enough to get back and forth to work, I believe that you're okay. Amen. Amen. And what we have to do sometimes is we have to sit down and think about things. And if we don't have the money to do this or that, we have to think about, well, am I taking up? I'm talking about me as the husband, as the hobby enthusiast. Am I spending too much money in this area or this area that's taken away from the priority areas? And if so, I've got to adjust myself. If it's food or bullets for the guns, the bullets for the guns have to go. That's just the way that is. Well, we've got to have. No, you ain't got to have. If you stop having food, you're going to die. If you stop having bullets... You say, well, I use the bullets to shoot the food. Then what's the problem? Amen? Well, it's not always that simple, but it's in a lot of cases it is that simple. Amen? Not getting a lot of amens this morning, but it's true. A lot of our financial problems, a lot of times we have to take out loans because we've spent our money on other things. Amen. And all those credit cards, they pile up, don't they? Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. That's really what man should be about. Society has changed. The culture has changed a great deal over that. And I don't begrudge anybody anything. You buy a boat, you buy rifles. I don't begrudge you that anything. But when it comes time, when you get in that financial crunch, just pay attention to what you've been spending your money on and your emphasis on. And your time on, and you'll usually find the problems right there. And Lord, in the age of government regulated work, you've got to be careful, because you might work more than 40 hours in a week, and that'd be against the law. That'd be harsh cruelty. Man, no sir, that's not the way it works. The government not to regulate anything regarding work. Sometimes you're going to have to work all day, every day, for very little pay. And so that's not right. It is right. Did you know that man sinned in the garden? You know, his wife ate him out of house and home. That's what happened. Eve got him run out of the garden with that dietary problem. Amen. That's exactly right. And before God run them out, he said, y'all cursed. And in order to make a living, you're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to work. And he let them go on like that for quite some time. And then he started writing down regulations for them to follow. And he said, 6 days you'll work, seventh day you rest. 6 days. I can't believe I had to work this 7 days or 6 days this week. Well, I need my weekends off. And now you're getting, well, I need a 3-day weekend. 4-day weekend. Well, those are nice. I like them just as much as you do. But, you know, when I was a boy, we had to work pretty hard. And I think it was against the law when I was a boy, but we did it anyway. You had to get out and do different kinds of work and stuff like that. If you didn't have a job working in the tobacco field, your mama could always find something for you to do. And work all the time and not make any money for it. I remember went to work for tobacco field one time and got the check at the end of the week. It was $24. $24, man, out there every day burning up in the heat of the sun. I showed it to my mama there, and she looked at it and said, well, that's a lot more than I made when I was doing that. You work all the time, not make no money, and say, so it's not fair. Well, that's what you get in a sinful world. Amen. Did you know what I found out later in life? Those tobacco farmers wasn't growing tobacco so I could make money. They was growing it so they could make money. You say, well, I want to make some money myself. Get you a field and plant you to some tobacco. You know what's wrong with people, though? When you say something like that, they say, I can't. Well, why can't you? Did you know if you went to the real estate agent today and filled out a contract for some land, they don't have any way that they can refuse it to you because you're white or black or brown, or the only thing they can do is say you ain't got the money for it. Nobody holding you back but you. But this modern generation, they say, well, he won't hire me, or they won't give me no breaks. You got to make your own breaks in this world. And the government going to fool around regulating that stuff till everybody's broke. And I believe that's what a lot of them want to do. Amen. But you're responsible for yourself. Be a good thing for young boys, even young boys that are asleep. It'd be good for young boys to realize that you're going to have to make your way. Not a lot of people going to be on your side. Mama's pulling for you and your grandma's probably pulling for you, but not a lot of people are going to be on your side for you to make it. Everybody's out for them to make it. Amen. 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 That's right, whether you like it or not. It's always going to be true. This life is unfair. And there's no overseer. There's no guide. Now, you look back up at verse number 7, who having no guide. Wouldn't you like to have a guide through life? Sure you would. That's not necessarily a boss. That's somebody to say, well, hey, do this paperwork and fill out this thing and look for property over there and get this kind of job and take this kind of class in school and tell you every way in the world that you can make it up, you know, out the other side with a little bit of extra money. Somebody to tell you how to get things done. That'd be good to have as a guide. But the ant don't have no guide, and they're in your yard every year. Matter of fact, there'll be more next year than they are this year. They on the increase. He said, well, that's ants. Well, the Lord told you to go. Watch them. Do as they do. Why would he tell you that? Because you'll have the same result they will. Amen. You'll see ants marching around the ant hill with little signs. More money for less. More money for less work. They don't pick it or complain. You don't see them down there fussing with one another about who got in the lunch line first, or unionizing and holding up the anthill for more money. That's ridiculous. It's just not the way things work in nature. You got to fight for what you're going to get. And some people are going to come out with more than you got, and you're going to come out with more than some other people got. Just the way that it is. Amen. No guide. There's no guide. He says there's no guide. Let me see. I lost my spot here. We're having no, verse 7, no guide, no overseer or ruler, no CPA, nobody watching every penny that you're spending, or no ruler, nobody to tell you you can or you can't. Just go check them out and see how they work, and then add that kind of principle and that kind of determination to your work ethic, which is hard to do being as lazy as we are. I will admit that. But that is the way to make it. That is the way to make it. Amen? All right. We should have an altar call right there. I don't feel like everybody's ready to run the aisles and shout and holler and say hallelujah. I don't know why. I just told you how to make $1 million, but you don't, not happy about it. But people want to learn how to make the million without doing the work. Amen. Now, let me say this. Let me stop right there. Some of you are doing jobs you're not going to make $1 million at. You're not going to make $1 million driving a trash truck. You're not going to do that. You're not going to make $1 million painting. I mean, you're just not going to do it. So listen, while you're doing this stuff that you have to do to make a weekly living, be thinking, studying. Try to get some inventiveness about you, imagination about you. When you come up with an idea and say, hey, man, I bet I could do this and I bet it would make a few dollars, do it. I'm going to tell you this, and this is going to be 100% for sure. Thinking makes no money. You can sit around your dinner table and think about ingenious ways to make a few extra dollars all you want to. And the sky is not going to open up and dump you out some money. You have to do it. You have to do it. I told you a while ago I was going to load up my ladder and my trailer and go around town and see if people wanted the roof cleaned off. I can think about that. That's a good idea. Have you seen the junk that's on people's roofs? The pine needles and the pine cones and all that stuff? There's plenty of opportunities around. But unless a ladder gets on my trailer and my trailer gets out of the yard, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And so if you want to, listen, if you want to have more than you do, then take the ideas that you got and try to make something out of it. Amen. You say, well, that's kind of risky. Listen, every successful businessman that's ever been successful took risks. And a lot of them lost money. So that guy's got a lot of money. You should see all the money he probably lost. So just say, well, I'm not willing to take the risk. Then don't complain. I'm not telling you have to. I'm telling you you can. But if you're not going to, if you're not willing to, then just stop worrying about it. Amen. I'm poor because I choose to be poor. Right? I told a guy he ought not to smoke one time, and he said, I can quit any time I want to. Okay. Well, let's apply that same attitude to the reason you're broke. You can make more money anytime you want to. You just choose not to. And if you're the one that's choosing not to do anything extra to improve your situation, you can do that all across the board. Some of you could know more Bible if you chose to. God doesn't have a list of names up in heaven that he's going to reveal stuff to. You can just read your Bible and find out for yourself. I sure wish I could get some prayers answered. Well, that's your choice. Pray more prayers, you get more answered. You know how to catch more fish? Fish more. You know how to get more prayers answered? Pray more. You know how to win people to Christ? Tell them about Christ. You know how to learn more Bible? Read more Bible. Now, the return doesn't always equal the investment, but sometimes you lose out and sometimes sometimes you got to do a lot of work to get a little bit of gain. Amen? If it wasn't for federal intervention, some of you would be making $2 an hour. I remember as clear as day, and I may have the figure wrong in my head, but I remember the time, I remember the question, I remember the response, and I remember sitting in the back seat of our car thinking, that's ridiculous. Because my dad was driving to work and he was doing all this stuff and it looked like he was tired all the time to me. And I said, how much money do you make? And he said something like $3 or something like that an hour. And I was like, that's ridiculous. Because he drove a long ways to work and I was like, I just don't think I ever want to be interested in that. Then when my mama was trying to convince me to go to work all the time, I was like, no. I'm not interested in giving somebody 40 hours a week and making like $36.89 after taxes. Just not that interested in doing something like that, amen? So you might have to do a little something extra. But at any rate, if it wasn't for that, but I think a man ought to be able to pay you a quarter an hour if that's what he wants to. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Is it not right to do what I will with mine own? I believe that's right. Anybody else believe that's right? When you've got a mandatory salary from somebody out at that gunpoint, it's hard to agree with me on that. Amen. I mean, that's what it is. We'll come shut you down if you pay people what you want to pay them. But really, that's what it should be. If you own a business, you should be able to pay whatever you want to. And if people don't want that salary, then they can stay home and do what they want. Amen. Jesus got a bunch of people. Jesus told about getting a bunch of people to work. Some of them started early in the morning. Some of them started with only 1 hour to go, and he paid them all the same. They're like, hey, we've been working all day. We should make more. And he said, I'm going to do what I want to with my money. And that's right. But at any rate, like I say, we're not just learning Bible today. We're learning about life. That's what we're learning out of the book of Proverbs, and that's what the book of Proverbs is about. Provideth her meat in the summer, verse 8, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep? It's hard to get potatoes out of the ground while you're sleeping. Amen. When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. But sleep is so wonderful, isn't it? I like it. I like it pretty good myself. If you could just make money sleeping. But you can't do that, I don't think. So shall thy poverty come with one that traveleth. Have you ever seen how much money it costs to travel?
Yes.
You can empty a bank account traveling pretty easy. I got to go to this restaurant and that attraction and this roadside shop and this T-shirt shop and a novelty shop. Next thing you know, you've spent $200 just taking your wife out for a date or your family out on a vacation. It takes money, don't it? Well, the Bible says when a man doesn't apply himself, you'll go broke like a traveling man. Because necessities keep coming even though money's not coming in. Did you know if you got fired from your job tomorrow that Verizon would still send you the bill? That's why you can't waste much time between jobs this day and time. Amen. And I've always heard that it was a good idea to find another job before you quit the job that you got. Because even though you ain't got a job, the bills are going to keep on coming in. So he says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now you'd think being in the army, you'd think you'd have everything you want all the time because the taxpayer's paying for it. Yeah, but the taxpayers that are paying the taxes, the money that goes in, are going to pet projects in towns you've never been for. And the army man is out there living in something very much like poverty. And if you've ever been in the military and ever been out on field exercises in an armed situation, you starve to death. You starve to death. And you don't get much rest. And I've been in places and in situations where I was glad to have the side of an M1 Abrams tank to sleep on. Just get up there and go to sleep. The engine will keep you warm. And you'd be surprised if you hadn't been to sleep in 38 hours. The metal railing of the side of a tank feels just like a Serta mattress. And you lay down and go, so just be glad. Just be glad for what you got. And if some of us had to sleep in the floor at night, we'd, oh, I don't know, see why I got to sleep in the floor. I'm the oldest kid. Them little kids ought to be the one. I mean, you got something to complain about, that's for sure. But, you know, there's worse situations that you could be in. And in this case right here, if you don't get out and work as hard as you possibly can, your poverty, the Bible says the poverty could come like a traveling man, and your wanting things, desiring things. That's also talking about things that you need, by the way. Want, and thy want, your lack, as an armed man, as a fellow in the military, who gets treated the very worst of anybody you could possibly think of. And, you know, if they, in the government, they say, well, if you vote against this or if you vote against that, the firemen, the police, and the army have to have their budgets cut. And they always use that thing, oh, my soul, we've got to take care of the cops and the firemen, and the money don't go to them. The money don't go to them. And let me, as long as police are writing tickets, they're not going to get rid of no police officers and no firemen. What they ought to do is cut the congressman's budget. But anyway, they're not going to cut no budgets. Nothing like. But people fall for stupid stuff like that. You know what they do now? They say, we're going to cut taxes this year. And people go, oh, yeah, we're going to vote for them. Do you know what the government's idea of a tax cut is? They raise it 3% last year. They raise it 2% this year. And because it wasn't raised as much as it was raised last year, it's a cut. And what that does is that teaches you that they have a right to raise your taxes and to tax you. And people, oh, that's a tax cut. That's not a tax cut, you dummy. It's a 2% increase. Women fall for that at Kmart. They'll walk down an aisle and had no intention of buying broomsticks at all. And they'll have 5 broomsticks. You buy all 5 broomsticks and you'll save $1 a piece on the broomsticks. So you'll buy all 5 broomsticks that you didn't intend to buy in the first place because it was a deal. I saved money. No, you spent money you didn't intend to spend in the first place. Oh, my soul. Anyway, is that true or ain't it? Hey, I've looked at tool sets like that myself. They're on sale. Look at all the money I'm going to save. No, you're going to lose money by buying it. 10 millimeter inches. Isn't that the one you're always looking for? Well, I'm going to save myself time, trouble, and money and buy 3 at a time. I don't need them. Go home and find the 3 I was looking for. Amen. And that's the way our money goes. You know what most of us do? We go broke $2 or $3 at a time. Amen. I wish I had all the Coca-Cola money back. If I had the Coca-Cola money and the potato chip money back, man, buying that stuff all the time. Cheeseburger money. I'm not talking about like regular meal cheeseburger. I'm talking about the cheeseburger between meals that I just had just because I rode by the cheeseburger place. Oh, I think I need one of those. We call that second supper at our house. If I had second supper money back, different story. All right, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Then the context kind of changes a little bit in verse 12 and goes on for a couple of verses, and so we'll get into that next week. And so I guess the lesson for today is watch your money and don't sign no bank notes. Amen? All right, Brother Nathan, you pray for us.